Hey, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
Why, it's another Not a Thing podcast. I feel like it's been mere hours since I saw you last.
Like, I think 48 of them or so.
Not even that.
Maybe 72.
Well, since our last podcast, but
Yes.
I think we physically saw each other less than,
Oh,
well, a
yeah,
little more
like a
than.
little over 24 hours.
Yeah.
Now we're connected
Yep,
to
I.
computer screens.
Right. I'm back to my picture of Batman. It was really fun. We for those wondering what the heck we're talking about, go listen to last week's show, which we put up a little bit late, but it's still in the definition of our week, as our weeks are, I guess, Tuesday to Tuesday. It's like our fiscal week or something like that.
Yeah,
In a
podcast week.
podcast time, yes.
I think we've
So,
discussed that before. Podcast time.
right. I hope you listened to last week's episode. It was really fun and novel because Brendan and I were face to face for the podcast, as opposed to face to screen to internet to screen to face.
Yes. That
So,
math adds up.
right, so our timing may be a little bit slower this week, but we'll do our best to keep it interesting.
There's also our first multi-guest episode,
Yes,
which I enjoyed ringing the bell.
not just one or two, but actually three guests, and we even had all
Yes.
three on at the same time, so that was fun. We'll have to do more stuff like that in the future. We'll see if we can get more guests lined up, it would facilitate that greatly.
Or more guests who live in places that we want to go visit.
Yes, please invite us over to your places of sleep.
If you live in an area with a vibrant microbrew community, we are more than happy to come record in your major metropolitan area.
Or perhaps a local source of pineapples and ukuleles. We can probably
Yes.
work something out in those regions as well. We did a
Well, to get
lot
to a lot
of,
of regions like that,
yeah. There are not too
you have to
many.
go by air.
Right. We gotta do what we can as soon as the opportunity strikes or comes up, we have to strike. So
Yes.
We did a fair amount of traveling in the last few days. Really, just in the last 2 days, it felt like many, many hours. But it shows you just how far away some places are, even when they're not that far away, on a few different levels. So I wanted to start with the trek out there. I mean, we flew to Denver from San Jose, and the flight time is nominally 2.5 hours. And I think both the inbound and the outbound flight, the actual flying part of it was not the problem. Especially the outbound part for you, right?
The flight part's 2.5 hours. The drive it took me to get to the airport was about 3.5 hours, which is a little silly. I
Right.
hate you, traffic. Traffic not a thing.
Yes.
The East Bay traffic should not be a thing.
Definitely could have benefited from some self-driving cars in probably a few places here and there. It sounded like there was an accident, at least one.
Yeah, there was an accident in Oakland,
Yeah.
but this isn't a new traffic podcast, so I'm not going to go into the details.
Yeah, all I know is that the traffic on 880 has never been fun as long as I've been around.
That's still true. I have p proved it empirically.
Yes. So I mean that traffic was bad, and we both flew Southwest. So the kind of methodology for Southwest It's funny because I usually am just like, yeah, Southwest, you know Southwest. Apparently not everybody knows Southwest. There was a woman on the flight back who was maybe one of the most bitter women I've ever sat nearby on a plane. She was the way Southwest works, and I'm sure most of you know, is there are boarding kind of classes, and you don't necessarily pay to get into those classes, although you can pay to upgrade into the early class. But really, it's just a way to manage the line of getting into the plane, and it's first come, first seated, so there's no control over where people sit. And this one woman had, did you catch what seat she said she had? She was like A4 or
Or
some.
that was, yeah, that was her boarding position was A4.
Right. It's
She had
some.
paid the extra fee for the business select seating,
Right.
which just means you get to get on the plane sooner. Except she was late to the flight,
Right.
and so she ended up in the thing that cracked me up was that she was complaining about being in the back row and, commiserating with the people around her, and we were all sitting in the back of the plane.
And we chose to sit in the back of
Yeah,
the plane so
I
we
mean,
could
I would
sit
have sat
together.
farther up, but
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, and it's not, I mean, it's, I couldn't, I just can't get over that. I mean, she was doing the classic, like, angry passenger thing, and I think we've all seen that passenger, but this was especially bad. I mean, she was,
She was calling customer support while we were on the tarmac. So that there was a technical problem with one of the engines, so we were delayed by almost an hour. And we're sitting on the plane, and we're sending out our mechanics to work on it, and she's online with customer support complaining about the flight she's on, complaining about the stewardess who is standing right behind her. And then when they fixed the engine and we were about to take off, she wasn't putting away her phone and turning it off. And then two different stewardesses had to come up and tell her, "You need to shut that off. We're trying to leave." Further proving her dickitude.
It's, I mean, it's possible, I guess, that she didn't understand how Southwest, I don't know, I actually don't believe that. I feel like anyone that has bought a flight on Southwest in the last, 20 years, I don't know how long Southwest has been around, but I feel like Southwest has always been that way, where it's a discount carrier, and that the discount piece of it is that you don't get to, pick your seat ahead of time. And so she was up in arms because she thought that she would get to sit further up in the plane, despite being how late she was because of her, the perceived class of seats. But what was really interesting was even the stewardess had pointed out that because this was a multi-stop flight, I mean, it came from at least one other place before it hit Denver, and it was actually going on to two other places after San Jose. It was going on to LA and then to Phoenix. So because of that, even if she was like A1, the first thing in the boarding, it's possible that she may not have been able to sit in the front of the plane anyway, because if there were people on from the previous flight, they let them move up or change seats.
Yeah, there were already 15 people on the plane before the first person from the gate got on.
Right. So not that, I don't know. It's one of those things where if you're paying for Southwest, you're paying to get on essentially a glorified shuttle bus. A shuttle bus in the sky. And you're
If you're
not,
gonna spend if you're gonna spend the money, the extra money, then you need to read what you're paying for. I'm sure it was written clearly on the order form online. You're not getting an extra seat or a special seat. You just get to board sooner.
Have you ever flown in the front kind of half of the plane?
Yeah.
In like a first or a business kind of situation?
Oh, no.
Oh,
I've been in the front of a coach.
okay. Yeah, we sprang for first on our flight out to our honeymoon. On the flight back, we were coach. But it was suggested by the travel agent we were working with. It's like, you know, you can save some money on the way back, but on the way out, really treat yourself and fly in first. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, it's a significant amount of money to fly in business class or first. I mean, you're talking easily twice what you would pay for coach. And you don't get there any faster or anything. I mean, you get on the plane earlier, I guess, and you get off the plane maybe a little bit earlier than everybody else just because you're closer to the front. But it's not, I don't know. The difference in expense is, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. The difference in expense is you do get bigger seats. So if it's a very long flight, I think that does matter because you get kind of nicer seats to sit in, and it's possible, but not necessarily guaranteed, that you'll have more entertainment options. Like you might have your own screen or something like that. But really the main benefit of being in first is that the flight attendants sort of treat you like a person in that when they come around, they actually come around in that gap between when they call first and when they call business, or between, you know, between the different sections, and they take a drink order. And so you get a drink order while you're sitting on the plane waiting for everyone else to board. And that is kind of nice, but I don't know if it's twice the price kind of nice, especially on any plane that's flying for less than, say, 5 hours. So anything in the continental United States, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah.
So, I think there's the Southwest model kind of works, and it works in a lot of different places. I've never actually flown in one of the other kind of discount carriers that takes a different tack in that they offer more amenities rather than just being, you know, get on the plane and get off kind of places. Like I know like Horizon and Frontier, they do things like they put TVs in all the seats, and everyone always holds up Virgin America as a good example, and JetBlue as good examples of kind of the discount carriers that are doing it in a way that that makes the flight just more interesting and more of a reason to be kind of on the plane versus, like, you know, and kind of making the plane part as miserable as possible. Which is what it feels like on pretty much any of the major carriers right now. But yeah, I've never flown Virgin America. Really want to. I guess I got to go to Las Vegas more. Have you flown any other kind of carriers that work better for you? Or
I don't really fly that often. So no, not really. There was one airline doing inter-island hops in Hawaii called Go Air.
Okay.
That they were, when we went on, they had a happy hour. And we happened to be flying during happy hour, so it was dollar beers.
Wow.
So that was nice. But the flight was it was like island to island, so the flight itself was like 25 minutes. So it's like they get up to altitude, you start to drink, you get your second drink, and then it's like, all right, they got to pick it all up because we're landing.
So that had to be a prop plane.
No, it was jet. It was small.
Okay. Oh, that probably was nice because I've flown short hop prop planes, like a, you know, 16 passenger, I think it's Bombardier or something like that, and it's not comfortable. I mean, it was maybe a 40 minute flight, but they just don't do drink service on something like that. I mean, you don't have enough time to get up to altitude and then push a cart through the whole aisle. They did do drink service, but the way they do it is they they went through, took everyone's order, and then walked out with a tray for every person. So they didn't push a cart down the aisle at all. I think, actually, I feel like Southwest did that on our flight, too. Or was there a cart? Maybe there was.
No, there was a cart for snacks, but not for drinks.
Yeah, so they didn't do the snacks cart. It was just the drink service, and they did it that way. Which I thought was a little nicer because it's not running that thing down the aisle and completely blocking it. Although, you couldn't really get around a person in the aisle regardless of if they had a drink tray or not. Planes are just not comfortable or made for people to get kind of, you know, a lot of transit in between.
But the one thing they do offer that other forms of transportation don't is SkyMall.
Yes. Oh, SkyMall. So good at keeping my mind occupied during takeoff and landing.
When I can't use my iPod, I use SkyMall.
Right. I don't know if they'll ever drop that restriction of electronics kind of getting on and off or during takeoff and landing. I think if they ever get over themselves about taking off your shoes during security, we might have some, you know, we might be able to get some humanity back and be able to use our electronics on a plane. Although I absolutely don't believe in having unrestricted Wi-Fi such that people could make, like, say, Skype calls on an airplane. I just don't think that should be a thing. Or I've heard of there's ways to get technology so you could make, you know, cell phone calls while you're on a plane, and that's just ridiculous. I remember when they had I think they were called track phone, or I'm not sure what it was called, but it was the phones that were in the middle seat usually on a plane, and you could swipe your card and spend like $30 to make a 5-minute phone call. I did that once just to say I could, but it's I can't imagine having a conversation with a person on the plane just because you're so in everyone else's business on a plane. It's just not it's not the kind of place where you want to be, you know, making long phone calls, I guess.
I think that's up there with the hotel bathroom phone.
Yeah.
When they have the phone right above the bathroom, right above the toilet in the bathroom. It's like, really? Really want to use that?
I feel like that's an answer only kind of phone. And when you're in a hotel, who's calling you?
Right.
So yeah, I agree. But coming back to SkyMall, so really you would choose SkyMall over the normal kind of in-flight magazine?
Oh, the one that tells me about places that I'm not actually heading to that I don't care about in Middle America?
Right.
I'll take SkyMall. I want to see two different versions of the One Ring of Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit for sale. They have two different ones. One is the One Ring, but then I guess the other one is also the One Ring.
Right.
But one's from the Lord of the Rings collection, one's from the Hobbit collection. The Lord of the Rings one was, I think it's about $70 more expensive.
Wow. Oh, that's a collector's item, right? Because it's an older movie, right. So it's gone up in value, clearly. Clearly.
Yeah, there's all kinds of useless crap in this magazine. I'm so glad I kept it. And mine is a limited edition because it was defaced with a pen. So there's a few different graffitis throughout it that are pretty funny.
Oh, that adds a lot of character, for sure.
Yeah, now this is a collector's item.
Right.
Although, this is the one I got from the outbound flight, and I was driven crazy because there's a page missing. Someone actually tore the page out of the SkyMall. So on the flight back, I had to look at the Fresh magazine and figure out which page was missing. And it was a city portrait thing, so I don't know why the hell someone would steal that.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that was the one where they'd give you kind of a very wide format portrait of like a cityscape.
Yes.
Which, as soon as I saw it, it's like, oh, those are the same dimensions as the Facebook cover image. So you can have a real life Facebook cover image for your house, I guess. A lot of the decoration choices, the home decor choices in the magazine are questionable. Like there was a like full size person lamp that looked like it was made of bronze, but it was, instead of a head, it's like a lampshade on the where the woman's head would be. I'm not sure what they're trying to evoke from that. But there's that. There's the all the outdoor art, the gargoyles and whatever.
Or zombies that you can get.
Right, right. The zombie clawing itself out of the dirt, and so it comes with like a head and then two arms that are like, it makes it look like a person half buried. I don't know if I could take someone seriously if they had that like embedded in their lawn. Although the Bigfoot ones.
Yeah, those are great.
We're pretty awesome.
There's one that was called like Bashful Bigfoot or something like that. And he just looked murderous. Like, that's not a bashful Bigfoot. He's going to rip my arms off.
Well, I mean, if you were hurt in any way, they had a lot of therapeutic gear to take care of that. They had all manner of pillows for being on a plane. My favorite is always the large pillow that you inflate, that essentially, instead of being a neck pillow that you kind of lean back with, you put it on your lap or on the tray, that, you know, the drink tray, and it's as tall as like your, it comes up to like eye level, and it's kind of wedge shaped, and you essentially slump against it. Which again, one of those things that if I'd seen it on a plane, and like it would happen that the person that did it would be the person on the aisle, so there's no way that you could get past them to get to your, you know, the bathroom, right, or whatever. What else was, oh, the different kind of posture belts and arm braces and foot kind of stretchers for being on a plane. And then did you notice there were at least two different laser hair regrowing caps?
No, I did not see
there
those.
There's one that it looks like you're wearing a like a helmet from kind of a bad sci-fi movie, because it's got red LEDs kind of around it. And then if you looked on the inside, it has just a ton of LEDs, and supposedly some of them are even lasers. And it's supposed to, you know, you plug it in and it's supposed to stimulate your, like, follicles and make them grow hair, which I find kind of dubious, but I don't know. So, I mean, really, it's not any more dubious than anything else that's in SkyMall, you know, when you're at, you know, on your way up to cruising altitude and you just need something to kind of let your eyes pass over in order to keep you from thinking about, you know, taking off and landing.
SkyMall is like the pre-internet version of internet shopping, where you just find weird things that you would never really need, but, you know, except instead of like the internet where it's very cheap, it's overpriced.
Yeah. I mean, it's like as seen on TV, except they don't reduce the price if you wait. It just seems more and more expensive. I've been on flights, and it's usually only international flights, where they actually do sell things, or the flight attendants come by with some of the things from the in-flight magazine for sale. And it's usually not SkyMall. It's usually the duty-free kinds of goods. So it's like, and I don't understand why or how duty-free stuff works. I should really look it up, because it seems like the only things that people sell in duty free are jewelry, perfume, booze, chocolate, and booze. It's just so funny, like, oh yeah, I'll take a handle of Jim Beam while I'm on the
But not for consumption on the plane, because they
No.
won't let you do that.
I'm sure they wouldn't, but yeah. Did I didn't yeah, I didn't get anything I didn't pay for anything to drink this round of flights. I only got the free stuff. Which usually is like coffee and soda and that kind of thing, but I've had a pretty good run when I do want to buy alcohol on a plane, that it works out generally really well.
Yes, generally, but alcohol and air travel are a thing.
Yeah. I think anything to make the time kind of pass in a more reasonable way is good. I find I don't like watching video while on a plane. I just I mean, even when it's my own screen, right? Like, I mean, I'm of course, when it's the fixed screen, like 4 rows ahead of you and all the colors are wrong, that's obviously a bad situation. But even when it's like the ones where the screen is in the chair in front of me, or if I'm holding an iPad, I just don't prefer watching video. And I think it's because the whole rest of being on the plane just ruins the experience of whatever I'd be watching.
See, I'm the opposite. I like to watch video because I just like to pop in the earbuds and watch whatever, because I'm able to, be taken out of my seat, and it's just like I'm somewhere else. I'm not on the plane, which is loud and uncomfortable.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I find
An
if.
escapism thing.
Sure. Yeah, if I can get. Like the sound, okay, I can, just close my eyes or otherwise, read the same story about Grand Rapids, Michigan again and again and again without actually reading
Yeah, I can't do
it.
that. I could give two shits about Grand Rapids, Michigan.
I guess Grand Rapids, Michigan is a stop at Southwest. Which makes no sense to me because I don't think of that as being south nor west, but
Right.
I guess the range of Southwest Airlines is wider than I give them credit for. But I've really only flown Southwest to and from LA and then to and from Las Vegas and then now Denver. Yeah, it's just not, I don't know. It's not ideal enough for me. I do you like the I don't know, it's hard to say. Do you like the cattle call effect of Southwest, or do you like having an assigned seat?
I kind of like having an assigned seat. This is actually my first flight on Southwest in a long time. I generally try not to fly them.
Oh, okay.
Post Kevin Smith, I have generally boycotted their services.
Oh, sure.
So, but in this situation, it was kind of had to happen. But I mean, the way I don't really care. I just want something to get me somewhere.
And that's what I think the thing with Southwest is too. It's just that they acknowledge that, they're not a luxury carrier by any means, and it's really just, you're trying to get from point A to point B, and this is literally the cheapest way they can do that.
Yeah, they have a 100% track record with me. I mean, every plane I've gotten on has landed safely at the place it was supposed to, so they've done their job. That's all I really care about from an airline.
I guess they're not 100% for me because I was actually the only time I've had to get off of a plane that I had gotten on was a Southwest flight. And let me tell you, that is awful. Because not only are you going to be delayed however long it takes to find another airplane, sitting on the runway when the engine doesn't start, which is what happened to us, actually similar to what happened to us this last flight on the way out, except the engine would not start at all. And so, because the engines don't start, you don't get airflow inside the plane. And I
Yuck.
was in Las Vegas, and let's just say it was really hot on that plane while we were trying to figure out what to do.
Airflow on an airplane, definitely a thing.
Although making the airflow, like those little fans, those, I don't know if my arms are just short, but it never is close enough for me to get without like standing up to adjust it. So I always have to do that thing where, you stand up, you adjust it, you sit down to see if you're in the right place, you stand up again, you adjust it, and you sit down and you see if it's close, and then you adjust it just right, and then half an hour into the flight, it's too cold, so you can't adjust it because it's too far away.
I think you might just have short arms, Alan.
I might. It's not impossible. Being short on a plane, generally not a thing. Although the thing that I do like about being short is I can
More leg
usually,
room.
good point. But I can also usually stand up, in the aisle. Not fully, but I can usually stand up hunched over in the aisle without hitting my head on the, on the console above the above your seat, the seating area, which I see constantly. Oh, tall people, too bad. But what? So, what was your favorite thing from the Sky Mall this go around?
This time around, I'm not sure. There was just so much to choose from.
Yeah, it used to be my favorite was the little vacuum cleaner for sucking up the spider. That's just like comically huge, and the woman, it's always a woman, is using essentially a dustbuster with a hose attachment on it to pick up a spider, and then I guess not worry about it otherwise. But this time around, I think my favorite thing was they had the tracker from Breaking Bad, the USB GPS tracker that is magnetic, that was stuck, that Walt used to try and track Gus Fring, in I guess that was last season, in four, season four, and
Right.
I think it's funny, it's the exact same one, and they don't mention it. They should absolutely be like, as seen on TV's Breaking Bad. This seems like a missed marketing
Actually,
opportunity.
there was one that was on, I think it was on a nearby page of the it was definitely on the creepier side, was a hidden camera you could buy for monitoring your home, but their example of where to hide it was inside a tissue box. Which that could go terribly wrong, depending on whose house and where you put that.
Right. Maybe not used for your adolescent son.
God.
Yes, some things should not be monitored, I think. But yeah, the I those were kind of funny too. There were a couple in that zone, although there was one that was clearly just a like the biggest price gouge ever. And it was a magnifier that the example they show is someone using it to read a map or something on a computer screen, which I found like, why would you magnify? I don't know. The examples you would magnify it, and instead of being like a glass magnifier where it's a lens and you kind of hold it and you pull it further away to make it bigger and that kind of thing. It's a video magnifier. So it actually has a web like a tiny camera inside of it and a screen on the back. So you're essentially paying $500 for an iPhone. I mean, that's really what it is. It's just a smartphone that has no features other than the camera part. But it was over $500, and that was kind of price gougy. Other than that, I mean, it's just a lot of junk, a lot of stuff that you might buy and then not want after maybe 30 days. And so, I don't know. Did you see any other good examples of like, I would never buy this?
Oh, there were plenty of things. There was the cat mustache. Not only can you buy clothes for your pets, but you can buy toy facial hair.
Yeah, there was the I
That
think
was weird.
the lips. There was lips for a dog in there, and
Yeah.
I don't understand the. Again, it's just something to pass your eyes over at on your way up to cruising altitude.
Just counting the minutes till I can turn my Kindle back on.
I'm glad that Kindles have become accepted enough that flight attendants know that when you turn it off and it still has that image on the screen, they don't freak out that it's still on and then yell at you. Because
Right.
I have seen that happen. I don't even know how you deal with that, because as far as I know, when it's off, it doesn't actually turn the screen off. It doesn't refresh it to clear the e-ink, which I think is the main selling feature of a Kindle. But I don't know. What were you reading on the way out? Or if you don't mind me asking.
I was reading You Only Live Twice by Ian Fleming,
Very nice.
which I completed over the weekend. The movie is way better.
Oh yeah, it's been a James Bond kind of weekend, right? We watched maybe I guess only about a f 5 or 10 minutes of Goldfinger.
We watched the first 5 minutes, and then we watched all of License to Kill. Which is what because I already have all the James Bond books on my Kindle. So after we watched that, it's like, oh, I guess I should read a Bond book. Like, oh, I'll read You Only Live Twice. And it was not as good.
You Only Live Twice. That's the one in Japan.
Yes.
Yes. Right, where Sean Connery becomes Japanese.
Yes, which is in the book.
Yes.
He dyes his skin and cuts his hair.
Right. It was his preparation for when he did it for the movie Rising Sun
Right.
with I think that was Wesley Snipes. Am I
Yes, it
remembering that right?
was. Yeah, that
Yes.
was Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
The great Wesley Snipes.
Well, now the not exonerated, but at least out of jail, Wesley Snipes.
Completed his debt to society, Snipes.
Well, what else was kind of wild? Oh, a bit of I guess entertainment news while we were away was the announcement about Batman, right? Was that while we were away? I mean, there were a couple other things, but I could give two craps about the VMAs. So yeah, anyway, more importantly, Batman, Ben Affleck, what? I don't I am kind of against it. I'm not I was nor I'm normally not at all a Ben Affleck kind of person, and hearing this news kind of made me sad when it was pointed out. And what was really funny was not only did you point it out to me, I think two or three other people I know pointed it out specifically to me on Twitter as, "Oh, Alan's not gonna like this," and I don't. I don't know. I think
I'm cautiously optimistic.
yeah. I mean, he can write and he can direct. And I did hear a rumor that they want him to maybe spearhead a Justice League-y kind of movie, which I think might be more interesting if you weren't also starring in it. But I don't know.
Right.
I'm less enthused about it, only because I don't know. Are they gonna reboot Batman to integrate him into Superman? Do you know? I
Well, I
guess they
think the
haven't.
next movie is a Batman Superman crossover, and
Right,
that will be the reintroduction with him as Batman.
but will it be a complete, or will it be, I mean, it won't be the Nolan Batman, because where does
No.
that fit timeline-wise?
Right. No, I mean, I've never considered myself a Ben Affleck hater,
Okay.
so I'm not super concerned about it. I mean, I think he's done some good stuff He's also done some really terrible stuff, but that could be said of a lot of actors. I
Although
think it's interesting. He's done a very good job of rebuilding his career after he totally tanked it. So the odds of him tanking it again, I hope that those odds are low.
yeah.
So.
I mean, my major issue is that he played a comic book hero before, and actually one of the ones that I remember liking growing up, he played Daredevil, and that was kind of bad. Kind of really
No, that
bad.
was very bad. I'm not going to argue that point. But I think that was a superhero movie that was made before they figured out the superhero movie formula. So maybe, now it'll be better. Although it is still Zack Snyder, so there's that.
I mean, it's he did okay on Superman, and we've talked about it before, so we won't belabor the point, but
Right.
it do you know if
There's also
he's
the rumor about Bryan Cranston coming in as Lex Luthor. So I don't know. That could be interesting.
Oh, poor Bryan
He's
Cranston.
got bald bad guy down.
Right. He has a great head of hair, and he's that would be two just bald bad guys that he's had to get set up for. Although I am 100% on board with the ending of Breaking Bad. It's going to be a rough 5 more weeks, because each week is so good. I mean, I remember my benchmark for how fast I wanted a show to go was 24, because at the ends of, especially towards the end of the season, so much stuff was happening. It made other shows seem so slow and plodding by comparison, whereas this, even when it's slow, is so methodical and really, really good about every point. It's worth seeing. And these last episodes have been phenomenal. I mean, I thought it was a show that could not, surprise me. And the confession, completely, I did not see that coming. It's really
I
well
see. I
done.
kind of did.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything about it because I don't want to spoil it. It
Okay.
did just air,
Yeah.
but I was not as thrown. I wasn't thrown by any of the turns in that episode.
Okay.
But I thought it was good.
No, I mean, I feel like some of the stuff with Jesse I saw coming, but the way that that was handled, the confession was handled was just great. Made me want to jump up and down and enjoy the scene. It was just very good. So we can talk offline in a more spoilery context.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think there's any movies that nope, I don't think I saw any movies this this time around, since I've
I did see a movie today.
Oh, what'd you see?
I saw World's End, the new
Oh,
Edgar Wright film.
and
I liked it.
okay.
I think I rank it at the bottom of the Cornetto trilogy.
Okay.
I still think Shaun of the Dead reigns at the top.
Yeah.
Then you got Hot Fuzz
Yep.
and then World's End. But it was still
Okay.
good. I had some good laughs. It wasn't roll on the floor funny,
Sure.
but it was a good movie.
Yeah, I mean,
Like there's
they're
a lot more character stuff going on.
Right. Yeah, I mean their movies have never been like laugh a minute or even paced as a straight up comedy film. It was always kind of a mix of a lot, and I find that mix is very kind of difficult to get, and their kind of recipe for that worked well enough to be, a solid movie. And so that's good. I'm glad it was good, because that looked like one that I wanted to see. So
Oh yeah, definitely. It gets my full recommendation.
cool.
As do all of Edgar Wright's works so far. If it's got Edgar Wright in the in the director's chair, then yes, go see it. Rent it. Watch it. Buy it.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, this week that's coming up, I'm back in town for a few more days, and then I'm going to head out to the Penny Arcade Expo. So when next we meet, I will be probably chock full of gaming, kind of not news, but hopefully just experience. I've never espoused myself to be like kind of a someone on the pulse of what games are coming or out there. But is there anything you are specifically interested in that you want to check out or you'd like me to check out? Because I know while I'm there, there's just going to be a ton of stuff. I'm going to try to see if I can get my mitts on anything that's going to come out on the PS4, just so I can see what the big fuss is about. Otherwise,
If they show anything for Destiny, try and check that out.
What is that?
That's the new space RPG game for Xbox One and PS4.
Oh, okay.
Destiny. Looks kind of, it's made by Bungie. So it looks kind of like Mass Effect or Halo.
Oh, that's interesting that it is coming out for the PS4 then.
Yes.
Oh, that's because Bungie got thrown off by Microsoft.
Yep.
Because they're not doing the newest Halo.
That's correct.
It's a different company. Okay, well, that I'm actually interested in because I remember liking Bungie before Microsoft bought them. And not in a hipstery way. I actually liked their games. They had a game that was, I think it was called Myth, that was similar to a Warcraft 3 kind of gameplay where you had kind of a squad of guys, but it was still, you had more magic and less emphasis on specific units. So it was closer to how Warcraft 2 was, but like a nicer kind of engine and setup. And it was just one of those that it was like the last game they made before Microsoft snapped them up for Halo.
Keep your eyes open and give us a full report when you're back from PAX.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna do some cosplay and I kind of decided against it at the last minute, which really boiled down to me deciding I wanted to shave and not be kind of Axe Cop for the entire show, because Axe Cop's mustache, while great when you're Axe Cop, I don't think I can wear a mustache in any other context. I've not graduated to the school of Nick Offerman. Oh, good stuff.
Well, Nick Offerman, definitely a thing.
Yes, absolutely. Mustaches on guys other than Nick Offerman, possibly not a thing.
Have fun up north.
Yeah, we'll do. I will try to make it back in time. I am flying on Tuesday, but I should be able to make it back in time for the podcast. And we'll talk to you next week.
Till next time.